Good morning. The January 25th meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The Coastal Regional MPO is holding an in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda. Committee reports, action item to be presented by staff, other businesses, status report on current projects activity, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item on the agenda that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire, For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. This meeting will now be called to order. Board members, before you is the approval of the agenda. May I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the agenda. Palumbo.
Kegler, second.
Proper motion and second that the approval of the agenda come before the board. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor by, I gotta do roll call, right? I can't do just blanket. I gotta do roll call. Okay, let's start down with Ms. Jarrett. Will you start, please? Give us your name and vote.
Jarrett, yes.
Carls, yes.
Heath Main, Savannah Airport Commission.
Katie Dunnigan, City of Port Wentworth.
Tani Sati from DDOT Planning, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Brett Del Caveo, yes.
You gotta cut that on. That'll be red.
Sorry.
Bell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Catherine Downs, Bryan County, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, we getting ready for committee reports. Ms. Asia.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
BPAC, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, met this month and endorsed all action items. Additionally, the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee met this month and endorsed all action items and also gave us some feedback on an informational video that the Core MPO has been working on. To give some background, Core MPO has been creating informational videos that will help people get to know the MPO and understand how we function. And so we showed the draft video to the TPAC for feedback. They gave us a lot of great advice on how to make the videos more engaging, such as having music on the videos, and so we added that, and the results of that were very good. They also advised that we avoid making faceless videos without a staff member present because those videos tend to get less engagement than having a face. So they provided a lot of good advice on how to make our videos better.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
All right, Ms. Brooks.
Good morning. TCC Chair, the Technical Coordinating Committee met last Wednesday. We endorsed all action items. Thanks.
All right. Let's go to the Executive Director.
No additional reports. We've had all of our meetings and things are progressing.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Let us now go to the action items. All right. Approval of the core MPO board meeting of April 23rd, 2025. May I have a motion?
Move for approval, Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Properly motion and second that they be approved. Minutes of the April 23rd meeting. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote, starting with name and vote.
Downs, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Delbert,
yes. Colombo,
yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Bell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Dunny Sethi, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Maines, yes.
Navarez, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
And the chairman. All right. Yes. All right, it passed. All right, let us go to the tip. Ms. Asia.
Okay. Let me zoom into that a little bit. So the state fiscal year 2025 ends June 30th. And at the end of the fiscal year, core MPO assesses the status of each project and its project phases, especially for the projects programmed in fiscal year 2025. For this TIP amendment, core MPO coordinated with project managers and sponsors throughout the region to develop the project's development status report. And the goal of these June TIP amendments is to ensure that the information in a TIP is accurate and up to date. So we received multiple amendment requests from CAT, and we also included projects that may need a TIP amendment based on their project and funding schedules. And there have been many updates to this report, which I signified in red, and I will just read those out. So during the public comment period, it was requested to move the Chatham Area Transit TIP amendment request to August 2025 due to board changes at CAT. Additionally, GDOT provided some input on future fiscal years and costs for proposed projects. And then GDOT also requested to add an administrative modification to this report. And then we also added two additional administrative modifications to this report as well. So I'll just get into the details. So there is a public participation process involved with this, and it requires a 15-day public comment review period. That public review period started on June 11th, and it ends today with a public hearing at the core MPO board meeting. So far, we have not received any public comment, but we have received several comments from Chatham Area Transit and GDOT and other organizations, which is not public. Moving on to the proposed amendments. So I won't go into detail on most of these just because they're being put on hold and moved. But I will give a little background. So for the Chatham Area Transit projects, these projects here, which are the first four projects, were requested to be put on hold. And that is because of the board changes at Chatham Area Transit, and we're just waiting for that situation to become more settled before we move forward with these amendments. So for the following projects, so we are waiting on information from GDOT before we fully process these TIP amendments. And so GDOT will send us that information on any changes to fiscal years or funding before we fully update those project tables and process those TIP amendments. And then for Project Durin, we actually coordinated with FHWA on this. And we found that type of change, this type of funding change requested by City of Savannah actually doesn't require a TIP amendment. And so what needs to happen is just the City of Savannah and FHWA will coordinate on this type of change. So basically, most of this document, we don't have to get into the details at this meeting. But we do have three administrative modifications that I will speak on, which is the SR21 widening, the I-95, FM Florida State Line project, and a connector from SR17 to SR30 project. And those are just administrative modifications. So I'll just move into those. Okay. So for the administrative modifications, in June 2025, GDOT requested an administrative modification to update the Y001 funding amounts. So the federal portion of the Y001 funding amount will be updated to $5 million, and thank you. And the state amount will be updated to $1.2 million. And you can see that change reflected here. And then the project page is also updated, but that's toward the end of this document. Moving on to the other changes. So this project, which is the SR21 from SR30/Chatham County to McCall Road/Effingham County, will be added to the illustrative section of the TIP. So for some background on the illustrative section, so these projects are not officially part of the TIP, and the project funding is not included in the financial balance. These are for information purposes because they're regionally significant projects. And here is also the updated project page for the I-95 project discussed earlier and what that those changes look like. And then here is another project page being added to the illustrative section, which is the connector from SR-17 to SR-30 or Benton Boulevard. This is also just for information purposes because it's regionally significant. So moving in, I did want to show the table of the project status check that the Corps MPO did of each of our projects within the TIP. And so what we did was we just looked at the project status and the funding status of each project, and we just wrote what type of action is needed for those projects based on the information that we saw. So either there's no action, or maybe it needs an administrative modification, or it possibly needs an amendment. So we did that for every project in the TIP. This is just the communication that we received. Or the communication that we received on this amendment. And so that is the end of this report. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Are there any questions from board members? None? All right, I'm instructed here that we're supposed to open the floor for public comments.
Yes.
Okay. So do we need to motion that, or we can just go ahead into public comments? All right, you say in public hearing. All right, so okay, now it's different from what I got written here because it says open public comment. All right, let me have a motion that we open for public.
Move to open the public hearing, Palumbo.
Second, Callanan.
All right, properly motion a second that the public hearing be open. Are you ready for the question? Please start to my far right.
Johnson, yes.
Downs, yes.
Elder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callanan, yes. Kenyon,
yes.
Bell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Ganisati, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Jared, yes.
All right, Chairman, yes. We declare that now the public comment period and the public hearing is open. Are there any members of the public on the raise hand feature?
No, sir.
All right, any members of the public in the audience want to speak on this issue? On the TIP, going once, going twice. Let me have a motion to close.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close the hearing, Palumbo.
Second, Cavalier.
Right, properly motion and second that we close the public hearing. Let me start to my left. Mr. Jarrett.
Jarrett, yes.
Morris,
yes.
Page, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Ganisati, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Bell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Belder, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Downs, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Public hearing is closed. All right, Ms. Wakoda. Is she up?
A motion that the public hearing be closed.
Williams, second.
A motion for the approval of the TIP amendments.
You want a motion to approve the TIF?
Yes. So after the public hearing closes, okay. The next step is to motion on.
It's closed. Okay. The public hearing is closed. Now you want a motion to approve the TIF.
Adopt the TIF. Yeah.
Okay. Adopt the TIF. Okay.
Yes.
A motion that we adopt the TIP as presented by staff.
Second, Williams approves.
Probably motion a second that we approve the TIP. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote, starting with my left. My right. Mm-hmm.
Elder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Chegley, yes.
Bell, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Canisati, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
All right. The chairman, yes. You ready? Got you covered all the way? All right. Now, Ms. Wakoda. Good morning.
Good morning. As you remember, when we presented to you about the MPO's budget, the UPWP, we decided that the next fiscal year, which starts next Tuesday, our main focus will have developed a new TIP, fiscal year 2027 to 2030 TIP. As a part of that, we will issue a call for projects, and after that, we develop the TIP, and then we maintain the TIP. So we reported to you during the UPWP that we are doing research on acquiring a software or some kind of tools to help us to manage the TIP, to conduct the call for projects. So that's, we call that ETIP or interactive TIP. Since the UPWP adoption, we have been doing research, and we have demonstrations from some vendors. We also contacted some MPOs like Atlanta Regional Commission and the Salem Area MPO in in North Carolina, to see how they acquired the tools and how they use the tools. So based off that, we decided we want to issue an RFP. One of the main point is to have a comparison about what products are on the market. For the ETIP, not that many companies do this, but because you might have a lot of IT companies, but they are not familiar with what transportation plannings are. So that there are, I am aware of like four companies that do that. But some companies with a GIS capabilities might do this as well. So we want to cast the net as wide as possible. So some IT might do that, but we want to compare to see what functions that we want to have and what kind of cost we're going to have and what kind of like scope of work we have. So I would just have this like, CD actually did most of the majority of the work. So we actually compiled all of the notes over here. So what do they, we will compare in like two software. One is Eco Interactive. Another one is Workflow Manager. So how they conduct the call for projects, and how they do the TIP management, and how they do the TIP amendments and MTP tracking or project tracking. For example, and also reporting and a database and admin control, what tools are out of box or what is an add-on, and what is the public interface, and what is the cost, as you can see. So this is just a very, very thorough comparison about the two software that we have researched on. And then based off this, we actually developed an RFP that I'm just going through. So what we want this software to help to achieve, the first thing for the TIP development is the project prioritization. So we do want to conduct the call for projects in the fall of this year. So the first task we want them to do is to help us to deploy call for projects. So basically we develop the criteria, we develop the user permissions, and so they have that in the database. So in the future, when like Chatham County or State of Savannah or Effingham County, you want to submit projects, you don't need to like send it to us through email, and then we compile up that. So everything will be done in the database. So you can submit, we will give you permission to submit projects in the database. And then we will have a review committees to go in and then review those projects and give them scores based on the established criteria. So everything will be database based. And then at the end of it, it will automatically calculate the final scores and the rankings for us. So this will save us some time and streamline the process. After that, we will have the project prioritization, and then we will have funds allocated to projects, and we start the TIP development. So every time we present it to you, like Asia just presented to you, the current project pages, updated project pages. So we do have all, we need to have all of that pages. So that probably will come in a form, but you add it in the database to make sure all the information is over there. So the database should be able to generate that report. And then we can ask for the report and insert it into the Word document. So that will help us for the TIP development. And after that, we track the TIP, the development schedules change and funding authorization status, lapsing funds and everything. So that's TIP management. So we will include the TIP management as one of the tools that we need. And also, the staff needs to be able to go and query a project. Say, if I want to say project Durain, I want to track the project Durain. So I can either enter PN number or I can just select on the map, or I can check by funding type, or I can check, say, the project sponsor. And then just go into, the database and update the database. We also want the tool, to help us talk to the public. So public sometimes want to know the information. So want the public to have like a public interface. They wouldn't have the administrative authority to go in and add to the database, but they can search and query the project. So we do want to add public interface in that. And then we also want to make sure the project's consistent with MTP, so we'll probably will enter all the MTP projects. So because whenever you do TIP call for project, TIP development, or TIP amendments, and everything, all the projects have to be consistent with the MTP. So we want the MTP to be part of this. Some of the software actually have the capability to track studies, but depending on the budget, we might not pursue the study management this time. But just included over there as an added value added feature. We decided based on the research, the cost for the phase one, the deployment is about like $40,000. And for later years, you will have a maintenance fees, annual maintenance fees, probably around $12,000. So by the first year, the budget is around $40,000 that we estimate. So this is all the information that we included in the RFP. We did present this to the TCC and ask the TCC whether we need to have a special meeting to delve more into this scope of services. And then the TCC chairman suggests that we probably only need a major input from GDOT, Chatham County, and all the TCC members, so they can send us input. So we did receive some input. One input I got, one is from GDOT this morning. So one is regarding the deployment of schedule, because we have 9 months for deployment. So GDOT has some concern over there, saying that 9 months might not be enough. When we contact the ARC, their deployment actually takes longer because they manage at least 1,000 projects. So our project is no more than 100. So we think 9 months deployment might be enough. And another thing that GDOT mentioned is we need to include, because for the schedule and an estimated budget over here, I was only listing the first year, $39,000. So I didn't list any later year maintenance, so we need to include that. And because this will be a multi-year contract, it's not just for 1 year. So we need to make sure that we include that language, say this will be multi-year contract. The first year's budget is this, and later years will be coming from the regular PL funds or highway planning funds. So these are the comments from GDOT. Chatham County also sent a project. One is what about the lapsing funds? So who's going to notify you of the lapsing funds? How do you manage that in the database? And then also, if a project is included, say, 2021 to 2024 TIP, and now it's carried forward to 2024 to 2027 TIP, and then it's carried to 2027 to 2030 TIP. So we need to make sure the continuity is included in there. And then also historic records, like project during experienced so many amendments, you need to have a historic records of that. So we will revise this scope of services based on all the input that we received, and then double check the schedule, make sure that we have enough budget to do this. What we were asking for this board is to, if you want to like provide input today, that's fine. Or if you want to like send us input by, I would say by the end of the month, and we will incorporate your input. And then we try to advertise for the RFP probably next week. So we will ask you, today just to, authorize the staff to release the RFP. But with conditional authorization, with the condition that the staff will go into and refine the scope of services.
Okay. Any questions? Is asking for permission to put out an RFP, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And now.
An RFP and to give us permission if we need to tweak it based on feedback.
You're talking about the scope of services. Scope of services. That you're going to tweak.
Yes.
Okay. All right, you heard the request to give the staff permission to put out an RFP and tweak it if they need to. Is that a motion?
So Mr. move, Callahan.
Palumbo, second.
Our proper motion is second that the staff be given the ability to pursue the RFP and also to make the tweaks that they need. Ready for the question? All right, let us begin our voting here.
Jared, yes.
Mans, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Canisati, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Bell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Elder, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Mans, yes.
Okay. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Granted.
I will present the next item, 2050 MTP, executive summary. As you may remember, we adopted the 2050 MTP last August, and since then, we have developed the visual executive summary, which Anna presented to you at the last meeting. So this is our vital document. Actually, MTP is considered a CompuS vital document. So according to the current law, and we have to translate the vital document into the LEP languages. So basically limited English proficiency, that's LEP, limited English proficiency. So in our area, we have three LEP languages, which is Chinese, Vietnamese, and Spanish. Because those three population passed the threshold, so either 1,000 people or 5% of the population. But considering that we have Hyundai, so a lot of a Korean population will move in, so we decided we want to translate it. We think that we will reach the threshold for the Korean as well. So we actually translated all four, translated the visual executive summary to all four languages. So as you can see, I'm proficient in Chinese, so I can read this. So yeah, this is my first language. So I can check whether this information is accurate. So I'm okay with this. But right now we don't have anybody to help us review. Korean. So I mean, hopefully some of you will be multilingual and help us review these. But at least, I mean, if Hyundai, they need to make some improvements or they want to see what kind of transportation improvements around this area, they can read this and see what the projects we included over here if their English is not that good. And we also have Spanish. So I might ask my neighbor who's from Puerto Rico so to help me to proofread this. So this is the Spanish version. And we also have the Vietnamese version. So we were not able to proofread three of this language. But we did contract with the company, Go Transcript. So they actually have a lot of experience. So we actually, right now, we trust their translation. But if some of you are very proficient with this language, so help us to proofread, that would be great help. And this is just the information report, and So just to let you know, we do have this vital document translated into the required LEP language.
All right, any questions? Hearing none, move right along.
Okay. The next one, I will cover the call for projects. We have mentioned the first step for the TIF development is to do project prioritization. So we will conduct a call for projects. So once we deploy the ETIP, so we set up all the criteria, we have the user permission, so you can start to submit applications. So what we have developed right now we actually contacted the GDOT to say what kind of funding are we going to have. So based on that funding, we will conduct call for projects. So there are a lot of changes because of the new administration. But we think that SDBG or Y230 funds probably will not go away. So we would definitely conduct a call for project for Y230. We developed the manual. And then so you can see the criteria is based on the 2050 MTP. So we have like three screens, needs screening, environmental screening, and equity screening. So TCC will have a special call meeting to go over this, to review whether some of the criteria needs to be adjusted, probably in July or early August before the deployment. And for the other one, the transportation alternatives, Y301 funds, I think even if the current US DOT is not very in favor of pedestrian safety, but we think probably this transportation alternative funds will not go away. It will probably exist for some time. So we updated the menu and to reflect the information, the new boundary and also the new criteria is based on the 2050 MTP equity scoring and then the non-motorized transportation plan. So BPAC and the TPAC will have a special call meeting to go over this criteria before we start a call for projects. And then the last one is carbon reduction program. This is a new program. Last time when we received the carbon reduction program funds, we didn't conduct a call for projects because at that time we coordinated with GDOT and they said some of the projects that already gone through our previous call for projects like Terrace Road and Grand Avenue are eligible for the carbon reduction program funds. So we decided we would just use the, we'll just allocate those funds to this. But for later years, we coordinated with GDOT say, at least under IIJA, the funds are still available in fiscal year 2026. So, and the federal transportation legislation normally don't pass. So we will always have like, continuing resolution. So we assume at least several years of funds will be available. So we will conduct a call for project for the carbon reduction program, as well. So Anna actually developed this manual. And so the criteria and then eligibility information is based on the GDOT, because GDOT has a carbon reduction program. So as you can see, we estimated like how much money we will have for under this program. And then the ranking criteria is based on the GDOT carbon reduction program. So we will have a committee to go over this criteria and then also the scores and everything over here in July, just like the SDBG and transportation alternatives. So this is the first time we present this to you. So we hope that in August, we will give you, after the input from all the special call meetings, give you a refined menu with the refined criteria. And then for you to authorize us, so to just adopt those criteria, and then we can start to put those criteria into the ETIP. So this is just for your information. But I did following up with TCC regarding this call for projects. So I did have a list that I really want to say. So I know some of you will probably submit projects. So you need to designate one specific staff because if we want to go over the call for projects through the ETIF process, you do need one dedicated staff to submit all applications. So we don't want to give permission to multiple staff members. You need to have one dedicated person. Another thing is try to start now to compile projects. You might have like intersection improvements or roundabouts, or some or bicycle and pedestrian projects, start to compile that list now. And then also, because if you have that the project list you want to apply the funding for, think about whether they're consistent with the 2050 MTP, because that's the first requirement. The projects have to be consistent with 2050 MTP or non-motorized transportation. So if your project's not included in those, you're not certain, coordinate with us. So we hope to process some kind of MTP amendments or non-motorized transportation plan amendments in August to make sure that your projects will be eligible. So check your project's eligibility. So compile a list, check your eligibility, and also decide on which project phase you want to apply funding for and what funding source you want to apply to. So we will have a workshop to help you with this. But previously, we did talk to you about Chatham County. They're pretty good. So they say, okay, Chavis Road, I want to apply for Y230 funds. So the layout, you might need you might need preliminary engineering in 2025, and you might need right-of-way funds in 2027, and you might need construction funds in 2029 or something. So lay that all out. And also you might have cost estimates. So my suggestion is always overestimate because right now, your consultant might give you $1 million for preliminary engineering. So by the time you get the funds, the cost might be 1.5. So you always add some contingency cost for that. So I know other jurisdictions, not good at laying out all what they want. So that you just submit, oh, I need the preliminary engineering funds for this year. But what about future phases? Think about it. So lay that all out. And if you need to contact us and let us know, and we will try to help you. So these are some of the things that I did talk to the TCC, followed up with TCC members. And also, if you want to manage these federally funded projects, you need to be lab certified. If you don't have lab certification, start it now. So we want you to be lab certified before you award you the funding, but you might want to start now. So those are some of the things that we followed up with TCC. If you want to go back and follow up with your staff members, this is the time. But the first thing, identify the projects that you want to make sure they're consistent and coordinated with us for MTP or non-motorized transportation plan update, or amendments. And then start to lay out and then over budget. Also start your local commitment preparation. So if you say you need $1 million, you probably need a local match of $250,000. So start to work on those. These are some of the suggestions, and we will come back to you in August after we have the special court meetings. So you will approve those criteria, and we will deploy those in ETIP, and your staff member will start to submit applications. Any questions on this?
Questions?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Have we been given any indication by the feds that their criteria will be set by August?
What criteria?
Well, what particular language, what they're going to be funding, because I know that's been in flux, with all the changes on the administration. So, are we confident that we can move forward without having all of the applications in and finding out, that we have to, that we have to change them?
We can adopt the local criteria, so we will try to avoid some sensitive words like DEI or equity. We might not say the equity score, we might say community score or something. Sure. So this is just the draft. The criteria you see over here are draft, but we probably will have to do some tweaking on the wording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Cohen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to commend staff on the proactive approach, particularly in the call for projects and activating the talent of this governing body. We're deeply connected to our communities for all of us, and sometimes it's reflected in the documents, sometimes not. Sometimes they evolve in real time. But the activation of the members here to conduct a workshop, call for the projects, is welcome news. And I encourage us all to participate and get as many projects as we can onto that list.
We did actually encourage the TCC members and have a try one project. So if you have like for example, Chumalinya Trail, I know Chumalinya Trail, like phase three is already under construction, but if you have another like bicycle project or something, that might be eligible for all three funding. So you might just have that project test all of these criteria to see how it stands against other projects. So you might want to just do that. So that will help you to give very informed input during the special court meeting.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Let's move on now to US 80.
The US 80 corridor study kicked off in May. Yeah, May 13th, we issued a notice to proceed, and we had the coordination meeting on May the 29th, and I have received the project management plan and the public outreach plan yesterday. So we're going to review that and then provide input. The consultant was supposed to do a data collection, but since the school is out now, so we're not going to do traffic data collection until August when school is back. But now they're working on, they just finished the project management plan and public outreach plan. They probably will work on the task 2.8 to do the cost estimating for phase one projects, because that's one of the tasks as well. So that is something that they can do. But they're also compiling all the information. We did establish like a file sharing portal. So we are uploading a lot of the supporting files over there right now.
Good morning, everyone. Anna Broadmerkle-McQuarrie, Core NPO staff. So for the urban flooding model study phase two, we executed the contract on June 3rd. Very exciting news. And we will have our kickoff meeting on July 3rd. And so we have procured the University of Georgia and their subconsultant Goodwin Mills Kaywood to do our study. Thank you.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. I'll be giving a report on the bicycle and pedestrian facility study. So the bicycle and pedestrian facility study is a study that will inventory and assess all of the bike lanes, crosswalks, and sidewalks throughout the Core NPO region. And I'm happy to announce that we have selected a consulting firm to carry out this project, and that consulting firm is Croy Engineering. So the contract between MPC and the consultant has been executed, and it was done so in June. The notice to proceed has been issued, and we also had our official kickoff meeting with Croy Engineering. In terms of other updates, Croy Engineering did create a data portal, because part of this project is doing a literature review of existing data that we have on our infrastructure system. So think map files, GIS shape files, those types of files on the existing bike lanes or sidewalks or other bicycle and pedestrian resources we have in the area. So they are requesting any data that anyone may have on hand that can help them with their literature review. So we can send that data portal link out. And if you have data concerning bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure, especially if it's GIS or map data, you can submit it to that data portal. And we can send that link out after this meeting. The project end date is March 31st, 2027. And we are excited for what this project will produce.
Right, questions? Yes.
So the scope of this study is going to be inventory of what we have out there.
Yes.
Will recommendations be coming forth as to what areas we need, sidewalks and bike paths and that kind of thing?
Yes. Part of it is an assessment of our infrastructure and recommendations based on any gaps or issues we have in our infrastructure system.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I have one. Could you clarify what the MPO area entails with this? Is it, yes, the entire area?
So the MPO area is all of Chatham County and then parts of Bryan County and parts of Effingham County. Actually, I can go to the RFP, which has the core MPO area. So everything within this red boundary the inventory study will take place here. So significant portions of Effingham County will also be inventoried.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. With this study being done in all of this area, they're going to identify where they make recommendations and identify where we need to put sidewalks and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did I cover everybody? Any more questions? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Jarrett.
Karen Jarrett, is this going to include maintenance as well as adding new sidewalks?
Yes, so part of this is going to be an assessment. So in the original RFP, you can see some of the information that we want to get out of this process. And so that includes what sidewalks need to be maintained, like the state of repair our sidewalks, crosswalks, and bike lanes are in. And so that will involve creating basically an updated map of all of the sidewalks, crosswalks, and bike lanes in the area. And then within that map, there will be fields that show the state of repair, ownership, and other information about the characteristics of the bike lane, sidewalks, and crosswalks in our area. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions?
What's the period of time?
You have a timeline?
So the timeline for this is the project is kicked off now, and it will be completed by March 31st, 2027. So over a year to complete this project.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to non-motorized.
I'll be giving that report mm-hmm. as well. So the non-motorized transportation plan is the core MPO's bicycle and pedestrian plan. And the MPO will be working with Savannah Area GIS or SAGES on this project, specifically to score the projects within the plan using ArcGIS. Unfortunately, we will not be able to adopt this plan in June like we wanted to, and so it will be adopted at a later date. And so we'll be continuing to work on this plan.
All right, any questions? Let me ask you, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with non-motorized, okay, have you run into the problem that we run into where in certain areas, they're saying golf carts are not motorized, and other people they say are motorized. Have we distinguished between the federal definition of non-motorized and the state definition of non-motorized? Have we gotten a clear definition as to, because we're dealing with both federal and state funds. That's why I'm asking that question.
So definitions are an issue.
Mm-hmm.
For the non-motorized transportation plan, this current update that we're doing, golf carts weren't considered,
right.
But e-bikes and scooters, that is something that's being considered because it's in a strange quasi area where it is motorized, but it's not quite a car. And so we'll add information, as much information as possible on that, but because federally, nationally, we don't quite know how to define that yet. It's still kind of in an awkward area, but we can still provide as much information as possible on those type of vehicles.
Yeah, because my grandson went to something the other day, and when he came back, he didn't want a scooter. That all you do is stand up on it and ride. And whether it's a motor, but it's declared as non-motorized, and you know I don't know how. How are we going? And I think that's going to be a problem for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because if you go down, even when I go to lunch on Broad Street, I see folks trying to maneuver between the walking public with those I call them scooters.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so we
will include information
yeah,
on it, and we've received a lot of those questions as well.
We can get a standard definition as to whether it's motorized or non-motorized. You know, we don't have to have that debate. Yes, ma'am.
And if I may, this is a national question. And in most cases, local jurisdictions dictate what they would like to define as what is acceptable on the streets, because these vehicles go across both state, local, and federal streets. So one of the things that we are encouraging and we will talk to our partners about is coming up with a very clear definition about what is included with regards to motorized, non-motorized. It even addresses speed limits and things of that nature, which is what others have done nationally.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, just taking Chatham County as a whole and looking at it, I could be riding one of those things and I'm in Thunderbolt one minute and I'm in Savannah the next minute, I'm unincorporated the next minute. And then, you know, it's same thing on the west side. You in Savannah one time, Poole next time, the next time unincorporated, then you're in Port Wentworth. And if we don't have some kind of standard acceptance of whether these are motorized or non-motorized, then, you know, you can get a ticket in one and not a ticket in the other.
And that's why we are looking at encouraging the local jurisdictions as well to adopt the standard of definition. It does a couple things. It helps with law enforcement with regards to ticketing if there's a clear definition with regards to what is allowable in local and in streets. But if we have a common definition, and that's one of the things that we'll work, again, with the consultants on, but also work with our partners in the local jurisdictions, we can come up with a local, I mean, a standard that is consistent across all of the zoning ordinances and all of the city ordinances that can be easily implemented.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we just know now that all the jurisdictions ought to come through the MPO so that we could be standardized in what we're doing. Okay, that's why I asked the question. Thank you. Question? Did I hear somebody else? All right. Moving on.
Hi, Anna Broad-Merkel-McQuarrie again here. So we have talked about the Federal Lands Access Program, or FLAP, for the last few meetings. And the call for projects is now open. So it's running from May 30th through August 29th. There is an estimated $7 million available for Georgia. And project award values will be 100% federal. So speaking about funding sources, what will be available, what won't, we know that this one is available. And speaking to other MPOs in Georgia, they have said that this is a very good program to access funds. You do need to provide access to federal land that is publicly accessible. So we do have quite a few large tracts of federal land. However, we believe the Fort Pulaski National Monument is our best opportunity to utilize these funds. We also have some wildlife refuges, have the airport, and then Hunter Army Airfield. So I really recommend that you contact the USDOT, FHWA, Eastern Federal Lands Highway Division contact. If you have questions about the project, you can also contact me with questions, and I can probably facilitate that connection if needed. Again, we really recommend these projects. They can be within a 10-mile radius, so that pretty much covers the entire county. We have a lot of land to work with there, so many different jurisdictions could utilize this program. And so just for a reference, we do have a map here as well. Just if you're a more visual person to think about where our federal lands are, what bureaus and services of federal land that are typically accepted for this program.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Can you give me an example of what a funded project might look like?
Mm-hmm. It could be road maintenance. It could be a bike trail. It has to, again, provide access to the federal land, but not be on the federal land itself. So you could do anything from, you know, as we're talking about, non-motorized, a walking path, to a physical road or maintenance project. Mm-hmm. And if you go on the, let's see if this link works. Not quite. The Georgia website, they do have examples of past projects actually on that website for the state, and that will be another good resource for you. Yeah, so let's see. Here we go. So they have the call for projects application checklist, FAQs, and then you can see the program of projects for the last 10 years pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with the federal land, especially when you're dealing with Fort Pulaski, are any of these grants or any of these funds dealing with their water and wastewater?
So this is an access transportation program for wastewater or water. There are probably still programs out there, and actually cover this in our core connections. We can just scoot down. We do have all kinds of funding opportunities listed here. So in the newsletter for June, scroll down to our funding opportunities. We have the FLAP program. We've got a low or no emission grant program that's open. There's a bridge investment program for large bridges open, port infrastructure development program. And then this EDA fiscal year 2025 disaster supplemental might be able to cover water or wastewater projects. And so we just received notice about this in the last month. But it's for areas that have major disaster declarations, of which Chatham County has multiple for calendar years 2023 and 2024. You can check your eligibility here. And there's a readiness path, an implementation path, and an industry transformation path. The first two are on a rolling basis, so as long as funds last. And then the third is due on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. So this program is not necessarily specifically for transportation, and it could cover different types of projects.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I know at Fort Pulaski, as well as, you know, right down the road from where the fort is, the Coast Guard is there, and they've got issues with their septic tanks getting blown up by the water, the ocean rise, so forth. And so we're looking for, the other day, we were looking for avenues where we could try to find and help with that. And so, I'll be back in touch.
Great.
So we can look into some things, guys.
Yeah. Happy to help try to find the right funding opportunity.
Yeah.
That is open. it can be tough sometimes.
Yeah. I'm just, because because it's federal property, we have a whole lot of restrictions, right? And as we deal with the folks at HUNA, that's one of the things we keep running into, those federal restrictions that with their wastewater and sewer treatment and things over there. So I'm just wondering if there anywhere that the core MPO can dip in and be an assistance.
The FLAP program is, it's not available for use on federal land itself.
Right.
If it's on maybe land owned by the county, then it might be eligible. However, for that program specifically, you do have to be outside of federal land boundaries.
Well, the problem is on the federal land because it's on the base, but it creates a problem for the people who live in Westlake. That's off the base. And the people who live down on that Westlake Avenue side, there's a subdivision down up in there. And I'm just wondering, since the problem is on the base, but it's the problem is off the base, but it's being caused by on the base. Mm-hmm. Is there a way for us to manipulate it so that we could use that? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, right? We can definitely explore different opportunities.
All right, I'll carve out some time and we'll sit and go through it. Any other questions? Mm-hmm. All right, ready to move on.
Great. So last meeting we spoke about our land use reporting template and provided a draft for people to comment on. So we are requesting all MPO members to submit a land use report each month to track their upcoming and or ongoing development projects. This will allow staff to determine impacts to the transportation network, review multi-jurisdictional projects, and plan for changes in density, land use, and zoning. A template is attached to this agenda and will be sent out via email to all MPO members. Please direct this reporting template to the correct person. So your transportation engineer might not have this information, but somebody else in a different department probably does. And so we're asking that this be submitted by the 5th of each month to Kieran Caulfield, our administrative assistant. Here I have the information that we're asking for. So, you know, the address, the description, local project number, looking at the level of service, the roads impacted, status. So in the
Excel sheet. There are a couple drop-down menus that have options, and then there's another tab with description of what it means. So, you know, as we're going through this, we can update it if it doesn't quite fit our needs. And our development services and current planning staff here as well have a very similar sheet, so that I know at least for Chatham County and City of Savannah, we can be double checking some of these projects that they are sending us. So we are trying to evaluate our impacts on our road networks as these projects are coming in across the MPO.
All right, questions? Thank you, ma'am.
All right, last but not least, our Core Connections newsletter. So hopefully you've all received this, but we are very excited to present the Core Connections. It's a monthly newsletter to brief you on the changing federal landscape and other essential transportation planning information. We invite and encourage all members to please add the sign up to the Core MPO newsletter to their homepage and a direct link as well on your respective websites. If you have a highlight that you'd like us to share for the month, it can be big, small. We'd love to feature it. And so we have the link here that you can add to your websites. We have a QR code. And as I showed you earlier, if you click on this link, you can see all of our previous newsletters and see here that we do have this highlight of the month right up front. So please let us know if you would like to share it. Some core news, but as we're talking about all these federal changes, what's going to be funded, what's not, we're getting a lot of this information through the Association of MPOs, which is, they have their own newsletter, the National Beat. It's very helpful. So quite a few times I'll say, read AMPO's analysis if you want a deeper dive, or it'll give you a direct link to a website. So you can always just skim it through, get the headlines, or you can find more information. For this newsletter, there are quite a few changes coming to electric vehicles and greenhouse gas emission changes. So there's a special feature here. So we'll monitor that and try to bring to your attention, you know, what might be most important that month. And again, as we saw earlier, there are funding opportunities, many different funding opportunities for you. This one, I would definitely check out, the fiscal year disaster supplement for 2025. And then some resources as well. So we have our orientation video here. Speaking of more grants, the NOFO tracker from AMPO, so notice a funding opportunity. There's links to this so you can see, you know, what's open, what's coming. A litigation tracker, that's also very helpful to know what's happening with federal guidance, legislation, and then some more policy resources. We also have our upcoming meetings and a link to view the agendas and register. So please share this widely. We definitely want you all to get the information, because meeting every 2 months, there aren't enough staff reports. well, we don't have enough time for all those staff reports. So this is a great opportunity for you all to share this information and then share information with us as well.
All right. Questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I wanted to just stress the importance of you all encouraging your staff to fill out the collection of data, or that data sheet that we will be sending out. It'll go out to both the city managers, the elected officials, and to the planning directors in transportation engineering folks, just so that everybody has access to it. But it is information that is really important to us as we move forward in trying to get, you know, additional funds and keep up with what's going on in a lot of the jurisdictions based on the speed of development that's taken place. And again, I want to just take this moment to thank staff. I mentioned that we would be doing this newsletter to keep you up to date on what's happening with some of the changes in the transportation world, and it's a moving target. Every day it's something different. So wanted to make sure that we thanked Anna and the other staff that worked on this of pulling this together quickly. I think that they've done a fantastic job. And we will continue to let you know what's going on with these changes. Thank you.
Do you have a copy of the template in this presentation anywhere?
Of the land use template, yes.
Yeah. Just so they can see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great. So you'll see here in red, that's where you would put your information.
Some of these do have a drop-down menu. So, for example, level of service can drop down. It'll not allow me to click it.
Anna, enable.
Oh, editing. Enable editing. There we go. Thanks, everyone. There we go. So some of these do have a drop-down menu. We do have the descriptions here, so you know what the columns mean. And then options here is if it does have a drop-down. So if we need to edit those, we can.
They saw it, now they know what to be expecting.
Yes. So hopefully pretty simple. And again, if something's not working, just let us know. This is nice because we can always update it over time.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's go to information report. Let's start with GDOT. Do you hear you? GDOT?
There. Thanks. Katie, are you online? Yeah, can you hear me?
Somebody online? Oh, okay. I hear a small voice somewhere. All right, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, our pre-construction status report starts with 15704 and 15705. This is the Back River Bridge and the major widening on State Route 404. These are twinned, and they're holding the PFPR right now. On the 17414 and 17415 is the bridge replacement projects on Bull River and Lazaretto Creek, and the next milestone is PFPR, and they're still working on the environmental. 18023 is the roundabout on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road, and the next milestone is PFPR, and it's anticipated in August. And there's a POH being planned for that right now. 15151 is the safety improvements project on State Route 204. The next milestone is FFPR, and it's anticipated in November. And then we have several new projects coming up that I just put on the list. They're all in early concept, and we should have more details on these at the end of the summer.
All right, any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, for active construction projects, they're all progressing, and I've listed the percent complete on each.
Okay, is he good? All right, anything else? All right, let's go to Chatham County.
Good morning, Tiana Brooks again. Most of the information here is presented. I don't have any major updates on projects, but I did want to let you all know State Route 204 access study. We're going to be having another public meeting on that one in August. And we are looking at State Route 204 at Pine Grove, and that's really going to affect those Grove Hill and Sweetwater residents. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention to be on the lookout for that public information meeting. Are there any questions about any of the Chatham County projects?
Yes.
Is that date set already for the meeting?
It is. I just don't remember it, but I can get that to you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. And you said something about Pine Grove.
Garage?
Pine
Grove. Pine Grove.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Anything Thank else? You. All right.
All right. Let's go to Savannah.
Good morning. Theda Massimo with the City of Savannah. Update on Duren. Kimley Horn and the City of Savannah presented concept designs for operational improvements at Montgomery Street and White Bluff Roads during a public meeting on June 3rd. The submission of preliminary engineering plans to the city followed by GDOT is expected within the next 2 months, and construction should begin on those operational improvements at those two intersections in July of 2026. On DeLessop's, the construction on the project is 72% complete and is on schedule to finish by the end of November. Current detours between Cuba Street and Wilmere Drive for construction and pipe installation
APAC, our contractor, has completed all construction and final service in place from Waters to Cuba. On the Truman Trail Phase 2B, construction remains on schedule for completion in June of 2026. Concrete pours and grading are ongoing along the Truman Parkway towards the power line easement, and clearing continues to the north. On Middle Ground Road tied to town segment, design is underway. The consultant is preparing early coordination letters for GDOT review and approval. Survey, archaeology, and ecology field work are underway. And I would also mention that we are presently working with SCAD Serves on a design for a trailhead project there that will also be one that we'll be able to replicate in other areas of the tied to town project. And on the I-16 ramp removal, GDOT is moving forward with the IMR for the I-16 ramp removal. The City of Savannah has received two awards toward that project. One was an earmark, one was the Reconnecting Communities Grant. We are in the finalization of an agreement with GDOT now for a portion of those Reconnecting Community funds to shift over to them for the completion of the IMR concept update and the environmental screening that's necessary to bring us up to a place where we would be ready to go to construction. The city is actively coordinating with GDOT on all those initiatives. Thank you.
All right, question? All right, let's move on. Hills Ahead International Airport.
Hi, good morning. The airport currently has 8 projects under active construction. Our security checkpoint expansion project, we're working on punch list items, gathering final inspections, and we hope to be closing that project out very soon. Our fuel storage facility expansion is about 98% complete. We have some late change orders that were added to the project that we're working on currently. Our auxiliary parking lot, we received the certificate of occupancy from the city, so we'll be closing that project out soon. Our air cargo facility, if you've been on Gulfstream Road, you've probably seen that the two buildings are up for the air cargo facility. So we're working on structural elements for those buildings as well as site grading and access. Our terminal concourse expansion project, expanding our current concourse by 4 gates. We've completed all foundation stabilization. The steel will be delivered next week to start the construction of the building itself. Our taxiway G and bridge project, we're working on the bridge elements across Gulfstream Road for our taxiway G expansion. Once that is finished, we'll start the paving for the taxiway itself. Demo Quail Run Lodge and the Frog and the Peach restaurant, that's all completed. We'll be closing that out within the next couple weeks. And Demo Air Cargo Phase 1B, we awarded the bid to Shamrock Concrete Construction, and we're working on getting the pre-construction meeting scheduled for that project. And I'd like to invite, you know, anyone from the board or any of your staff that would like to come out to the airport to see the projects that are under active construction, you know, please reach out to me if you're interested in that.
Happy Airport Workers Day. That's me. Happy Airport Workers Day.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You want to tell us about the other $11 million you just got?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
You don't want to tell us about the other $11 million you just got last week this time?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. So it's very, I think we provided a response on that. But yeah, we're very appreciative of the money that's going to go into Taxiway G as well as some of our other projects that are coming up.
Thank you, our delegation, for helping with that as well. Big win.
All right. I just want to make sure you mention it since you got the money. All right, let's go to Jadamira Transit.
I don't think Mary is here anymore.
Okay.
But the report is attached.
We'll move on. City of Port Wentworth.
Good morning. I just wanted to touch on a few items here. The future signalized intersection at Highway 21 and Lakeside Boulevard. Across the street from Lakeside Boulevard, which will be the Spine Road entrance to the industrial park, is in its second week of clearing. We are optimistic that this intersection will be significantly completed by October. And I have a correction. The ribbon cutting for the fire station at Highway 30 and Anchor Park Boulevard has been moved to July 11th at 10:30. And if you're in the area, please, please do come.
All right, anything else? All right, let's move on.
Off-site parking.
We got anything from LAT?
The LAT update from South Carolina is attached.
I guess we're going to have off-site parking and take you there.
I don't have any comments. Any notes? Yes, GDOT, Secretary Walker.
So we do have the USDOT Secretary memo from April 24, 2025. This is in regards to a reminder, if you receive federal funding from USDOT, you are supposed to comply with all federal laws. There, you know, as we reported in our newsletter, a federal judge did just reject tying USDOT funding to immigration enforcement. Read more in our newsletter. You know, there may be appeals and such, but this is an evolving story. So I imagine there will be more information on it soon, but please just be aware of this information here.
Okay. Our next core MPO board meeting will be August the 27th at 10 a.m. here in the chamber. Does anyone have anything for the good of the body? Nothing? All right, may I have a motion to adjourn then?
So move, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Second, Downs.
Proper motion is second that we adjourn. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your votes by stating your name. Starting with Ms. Downs.
Downs, yes.
Miller, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Underwood, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Gagler, yes.
Bell, yes.
Milton, yes.
Canisetti, yes.
Dunnigan, yes.
Means, yes.
Mavers, yes.
The chairman, yes. Y'all have a good day.